ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. I want to thank Pastor Ayo Daniels and Pastor Folake Daniels, you know, for this opportunity once again. This series started some week before, you know, Easter Faith Conference, and was speaking on enterprise, building enterprise. You know, I touched on a couple of things for those of you that took notes, fantastic. And if you're not around, you can still catch the, you know, the video on YouTube. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, establish the fact that God's desire for us as believers is to actually own things. God's desire for us is to own. Let me start with Psalms 35, verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Those who are aligned to my will, those who are aligned to my mandate, those who are aligned to my commission. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad. And let them say continually, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God is interested in our prosperity. God is interested in our... I want to say to yourself that God is interested in my prosperity. See, some of us are not even sure. I wanted to say it affirmatively, that God is interested in my prosperity. You see, I wanted to think about the whole celebration that happened this previous weekend, and how, you know, we begin to recount the great work that God did by sending his son, and how he lived on earth. And the entire experience of his being crucified on the tree, right? How he died hanging on the tree, how he was buried, and how he resurrected with power. And he appeared to the disciples. And from his resurrection came that capacity to have eternal life. And guess what? It could have happened that all of that experience and the account of that experience and the result of that experience was just limited to Jerusalem or Judea and the environs. I want you to think about it. It could have happened that the entire sphere of this gospel could have been so restricted and limited to certain areas within the East, without even getting here. But you see, the vehicle via which the gospel has always been riding is prosperity. The reason why Apostle Paul could move from one city to another city, from one place to another place, establishing the faith of the believers, is because there were people who were given towards that traveling. Yes, given that Apostle Paul, aside from the fact that he studied, you know, under Gamaliel, he was well-learned as far as the law was concerned. He was well-learned, you know. He also had his business. He was a tent maker. But you see, at some point, he had to put aside the tent-making business to focus on strengthening the churches. And that's why when we look through the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, from verse 15. Can we have it on the screen? Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "Now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." 16. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Now, you are seeing the reason why the man of God could preach the gospel effectively. Because some people were sending aid. They made a commitment to provide the financial aid and support. It says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Please, let's take you to that verse 16. Verse 16, quickly, please. He said, "You sent aid once and again." Once and again. You sent it repeatedly. So it wasn't a one-off. It wasn't a one-off. Let's go. "Not that I seek the gift." Let's go to 18. I've read this. 18. "Indeed, I have all and abound." Now, the reason why I could come to this point is because of the commitment. He said, "I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you." I am full. I have enough to take me on this journey. I have enough to go from city to city. Having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma. You see, it is when a giving is significant that is a sweet smelling aroma. Remember the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. You know, even Cain himself acknowledged that what Abel gave, it was substantial. An acceptable sacrifice. I mean, this is deep. So there are some sacrifices that are not acceptable because it's not sacrifice. Well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, please. Verse 19. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And my God. That's one of the favorite scriptures of believers. "And my God shall supply all my needs." But you see, you don't look at the context within which that scripture came. When you're studying the scripture, you need to understand that there are some things that are contextual. You can't appropriate the scripture out of context. You can't be the kind of person that don't give to the cause of the gospel and be expecting this verse 19 to be effective. Like what someone said, it becomes 419. Because God's design is that inasmuch, Psalm 35, the verse 27 that we're, inasmuch you favor God's righteous cause, you will always be glad continually. You will be glad because verse 19, please take it back to that verse. Thank you. I like who is there. God bless you. More grace to you. Person is really active. Verse 19 of that Philippians say, "For my God shall supply all your needs." So what it means is that when you take it upon yourself to assume that position of that individual that is constantly supporting, funding, availing your resources for the gospel, there is a blessing that ensures that you never run out of supply. You never run out of supply. And that's why it's important as believers that we first, you know, realize from that position that what God desires from us is that capacity. What God has prepared, designed for us to step into is that capacity to make resources available. The Bible talks about, you know, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord filling everywhere as waters covers the sea. But you see, the same scripture also established to us that true prosperity, with my city spread abroad, with my city be enlarged, with my kingdom influence be extended, true prosperity. The reason why the gospel could come to Africa was because some people committed their resources to funding the gospel. The missionaries that came, they did not come because there was free ticket. And they were not here because there was free meal that they were eating. And the resources, the aids, the pharmaceutical resources, the clothing, and all of that they brought, they didn't bring it because those things were, you know, they picked them in the sky. They could embark on that mission successfully because some people came together and put their resources together. And we need to understand as believers that the extent to which we are able to command these resources will determine how much impact we are going to make in our world with the gospel. See, there is the praying and the studying of the scriptures that every believer should do. Acts chapter 6. But we give ourselves continually to prayers and to the ministry of the word. But you see, the giving ourselves every day to prayer and to the word is not the ministry of every believer. Get it right. That you are praying 6 hours a day is not a testimony that a believer should be bragging about. Because you see, there are different callings as far as our world, our Christian faith is concerned. There are those that have been called into the fivefold ministry. They've been called into the fivefold ministry. The Bible says that, you know, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gift unto men. To some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And he specified what they should do for the... Please, go to verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So the fivefolds are given to equip the saints, for saints to go and do ministry. The ministry of the saints is not limited to the walls of the church. The ministry of the saints is in the marketplace, outside of the walls of the church. Within the walls of the church, the fivefold that God has designated, they equip the saints with the understanding, the spiritual capacity that they need, and they go out to manifest it. You see, we need to get off this mindset that makes believers think that, you know, until I get an opportunity to get on stage to preach, you know, I'm not yet there. So you're trying to say that, oh, we know the people that are there in church. It's people that go to the pool. That is nonsense. The Bible says that they that compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. It's because you don't understand the capacity and the gravity of your role in the kingdom. That's why you are comparing yourself to someone whose responsibility is to equip you, and your own responsibility is to go and release and create the impact, And as a result of the value you are creating in the world, you are commanding the resources, and you bring it again to fund the gospel. When you look all over the world, the ministries that are, you know, that have made the largest impacts, go and check their budgets. Yes. What you will discover is that the number of souls won by those ministries is equivalent to the number of financial commitment into that cause. Go and check. The more the money available to preach the gospel, the more the souls that will win. Chicken. So that's why we had to embark on this series, to help us understand that what you are doing in the marketplace is even more important to God. Please listen carefully. Is more important to God than the activities that you're pretending to be doing in the church. Please listen carefully. What you are doing in the marketplace and the impact you are making is more important to God than the activities you are doing. And the reason why I use the word activity is because there are a lot of people in the belief in the church today that the reason why they are doing what they are doing in the church is to just show that, we are here. Tilo. Say, who are the workers? We are the workers. Who? No, that's my seat. I've been sitting there for the last 12 years. Who are you? Activities. God is not interested in those things, because what makes impact are the things that you do in the marketplace that commands value, command resources that you put in the gospel. You see, by God's grace, the desire of God is that as believers, our need is not a problem. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So it's not a question that, I'm trying to pay house rent, I'm trying to pay school fees, I'm trying to pay bills, The reason why we struggle at that level is because we don't understand the priorities of God. When you understand your place and the priorities of God, those things will never be an issue. It will never be an issue. Because the realm that God wants us to function as believers is the realm of more than enough. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what we can ever ask or think, according to his power that is at work in us. That's the realm he wants us to operate from. So you must come to a place where you realize that you are not trying to, you know, there's another notion that people have that, I'm trying to see how, you know, they can take me in fully, you know, in church, you know. I just want to be part of the union so that church will be responsible for, you know, for my salary, for my, you know, and all that, you know. I want to stay away from these worldly things. And see, the truth is that we must understand as individuals that if your assignment is not, you know, the Bible talks about the angel of the Lord for different churches. When you read Revelation, Bible talks about the angel of the Lord. Bible talks about the candle of the Lord. You know, what it means is that, see, everyone that God has sent to pioneer a church is representing that church before God. Is an angel of the Lord before, is a called person. The same word for, you know, for that is the same word Apollos, messenger. Is the sent person for that assignment. If you are not that person, you know, this is where I want you to see it. The only person within a church whose heart should be 100% on the work and not having to think about raising money or fund is the angel of God for that assignment. That was why even though Paul started his ministry making tents to support himself, you know, reaching to reach, going from place to place. It got to a point where he became full. He said, I'm full. I don't need to be doing all of that again. His commitment was on traveling, strengthening the people, because he didn't have to think about it. But you see, if you happen to be in a church like this, and the angel of God is still having to think about how do we get this done, where do we get this money, it means that we are not doing our roles as members of that church. It means that we are not doing our roles. It means that we are literally disappointing God. So, and the encouragement, you see, the whole encouragement for this season is that whatever it is that God has put in your hand in the marketplace, you embrace it as a ministry. Whatever, thank you, whatever assignment that God has given to you, you embrace as your own ministry. Because you see, the same way that Pastor Ayo will give account for everything that he did with Lighthouse and the calling that God has given to, that's the way we are going to stand and give account. And you see, one of the mistakes that people make is that your impact will only be measured by the things that you did in church. Oh, you know, some people will say that God will bring the register. When we did Sunday service, were you there? Wednesday service, were you there? That's not it. That's not it. The way God will measure us, first and foremost, as believers, because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we don't fall into the judgment of God, you know, where he decides on those who goes to heaven and those who goes to hell. Automatically, we have been redeemed. We are going to heaven. But you see, there is now another judgment for believers. So don't think, oh, because we are born again, no. By God's grace, you know, we're going to get to all of those things. There is another judgment for believers. And what we are being judged upon is, what have you done with the capacity and the opportunity that you have? When the Bible says that the Lord will wipe away tears from their eyes, it's not the people that are condemned in hell. There is no redemption for anybody in hell. There is no wiping of tears. The wiping of tears is when believers now come to the realization of what they could have done with the potential that they had, and they break down in tears. When believers realize the capacity that God has given to them, the things that he expected them to build, the funding he expected them to provide, and the number of souls he will have converted, they break down in tears. That's what he said. And at that time, God will now be the one wiping away the tears. Yeah. It's unfortunate. Because you were always giving one excuse or the other. And that's why it's important that we take whatever we are doing in the marketplace very seriously. I started a conversation on how we can start out our business. Today, we'll just look at a few steps that it's important for consideration if you're looking to start out. I emphasized the last time that, you know, when you have a job, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. But don't think of dying on that job. Don't think of dying on that job. Don't think of dying on that job. You know, I did an analysis of, you know, different income, you know, category. And I emphasize the fact that if you really want to make influence or impact, you need to belong to the high net worth individuals, or at least the upper middle class. I think I remember telling us that the upper, you know, the high net worth individuals are people that earn minimum of 50 million naira per annum and above. If you look at your salary that you're getting and it's, you know, about 50 million naira and above, then it's okay. You can probably be comfortable in the job that you are doing because you are part of the high net worth individuals. Whatever you choose to give could still be substantial. And the upper middle class are those that earn between 15 million naira and 49.99 million naira per annum. The upper middle class guys, you know, they have access to some resources. They could still make some impact. If you're working in a, you know, in a corporate organization and you're earning that, well, it's okay. But then you must begin to think of much more. You must begin to think of much more. much more. Because you see, when you even get to that height in corporate organization, you have access to more opportunities and more resources. So what it means is that you can even fund other businesses, other startups out of the abundance of what you have and create more wealth. How many of you heard about the fund that Paystack raised? That's a month ago. That's still news now, right? About $200 million that they raised, right? Now, are you aware that there were some investors that gave them seed money when they were starting out? So just think about what the value of the worth of that investment will be right now. That's the kind of opportunity you have access to when you belong to the high net worth individual category or upper middle class and you have such resources, you know, in your hand, right? Then I talk about those that are in the lower middle class, those that earn between 2.5 million naira and 14.999 million naira per annum. And I emphasize the fact that a lot of people that we look at that are doing well in the church, that's the category that they fall in. And we should not be overtaken by, you know, the razzmatazz of the things that we see. Oh, he's driving a car. What kind of car? Brand new Tokumbo or brand new what? You know? I mean, there are a lot of things that we celebrate, that the reason why we celebrate them is because as believers, we've entertained mediocrity. Do you understand? When you begin to think lesser than you should think, what the Bible encourages is that you should not think higher than you ought to think, not lesser than you should be thinking. Do you understand? Because you see, the capacity that God has put in us, with what God has placed inside of us, there is the tendency to be living in cloud nine all the time. Do you understand? There's that tendency. We command the resources, we command the power, we cause the healing, we do it. So we have all of those. So you could be in cloud nine. Imagine if you were Jesus in our day, literally. You were Jesus Christ in our days, literally. That they come around, they kill somebody, you wake the person up. They say they need money. So yeah, take that fish and you open it and money came out. They say someone is dead. They say, how many days? For the come out. You know, there's that tendency to be. Do you understand? So that's why the Bible says that we should not think of ourselves more highly than we should think. But it didn't say we should think less. Do you understand? We should think the mind that should be in us is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That's the mindset. But you see, when we think too low of ourselves, that's when we settle for those things. The life of a man, the value, the results that a man command should not be a function of all this outward show that we, I mean, I can decide that this stack of money that I have, I'm not going to buy a brand new car with it. I want to give everything to a cause. Do you understand? Those are radical decisions that some believers have done. By God's grace, next Sunday, I'm going to do like a presentation on some of these believers that we don't even know about. We hear about their brands, but we don't even know about them. Amazing people. How many of you knew that the owner of Hilton, the person that started Hilton, the Hilton group that we know as it is today, is a believer? A lot of them that we don't know. I'm going to, you know, showcase some of those so that we can see some good example and aspire and see the things that God can do through believers who are interested in partnering with God. So, and when you earn below 2.5 million naira per annum, the category that you fall into is the lower class. The lower class. The lower class. And I need you to understand that the Bible said, please pay attention. The Bible said, the poor, you will always have in your midst. That's the general body of Christ. He was just speaking to them. Because, you know, when it's important we study the scriptures. Because what it does is that it changes our mindsets. It transforms our the way of thinking. That's why I like the way Pastor always quotes that scripture. Romans 12 verse 2 in the Message version. Don't be adjusted to the culture of this world. Don't be reduced to his level. Don't be reduced to his. I like it. So don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's what happens when you don't dwell on the scriptures. See, the way Pastor Ayo must study the scripture aggressively in order to draw juice for it, for his personal life, and be able to be a blessing. That's the way every believer must study the scriptures. You know, the understanding that God gave to me very early is that when you are in the marketplace, your responsibility is much more than the person that is in a core ministry assignment. Let me say that again. Someone whose God has called to be a priest or a set man over a church has that spiritual oversight and that commitment to pray and watch over them and study the scriptures. When you are in the marketplace, you have more responsibility because you must also study the word and build fellowship with God. Then you must also master your trade. Yeah. So now you see that a lot of believers have been shortchanging themselves. Some will say, oh, I'm trying to be an expert in this trade. They are not building that fellowship. Because without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we cannot make the kind of impact we want to make in the marketplace. We can't make it. You know the reason? The devil, we only... Bible talk about the devil being the god of this world. Pay attention to this. The devil is the god of this world. The god of the world system. And what it means is that when you favor the righteous cause of God, you are not aligned with him. There is the light and there is the darkness. The moment you are on the camp of the light, what you have signed up for is that life in which the resources that are within the control of the devil does not come naturally. I want you to get it. Because a lot of people have questions that why is it that some unbelievers thrive in the marketplace than believers? Why is it that the billionaires, why are they unbelievers? Why are they this? Why are they that? It is because the system of this world naturally favors those that are with the devil, those that are without Christ. So as believers, there is a demand we need to make in order to attract it. But you see, unfortunately, a lot of believers are in the marketplace trying to get these resources, but they've not built the fellowship to make the demand. Do you understand? So you're trying to assess a project that an unbeliever is also trying to assess. The same capabilities that you have in terms of qualification, the unbeliever also have. But guess what? The unbeliever can go through the back door and bribe someone, and the person will release it. So because the system is still within the same world, the devil is still the father of all of them. But if you must get that thing out of that circle, you need to understand your place. That you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly place. All things are yours. And based on that understanding, you make the demand. And what happens? God, in mysterious manner, it can just be the person assessing the final destiny. And we think that you are the other person. And we just approve it. It has happened several times, several testimonies. Do you understand? So that is where the mystery of godliness lies. How it happens, you don't know, but you just came. Hallelujah. The reason why God can speak unprecedented favor to us as a prophetic word is because we need that dressing to be able to get favor where naturally we cannot get it. Do you understand? So, but unfortunately, believers don't build that work. You don't build that work. And that's where the work is. That's where the work is. As you are cultivating mastery in an area, you must build fellowship with God. Things to note about building an enterprise. Said, start with what you have. Start with what you have. What's that thing that you can do very well? What's that thing you're good at? You know, discover it. So it's good that you are currently working in a place, but you must begin to think beyond that place. You must begin to look at what's that thing that, you know, you are good at. What's that thing that you have capacity to do? What's that idea? What's that problem you can solve? And I established to us that it could be trade, just buying and selling, but you need to identify something. And another thing I want to add to that is that you can actually approach God in the place of prayer to inspire you. You can approach God in the place of prayer to inspire you. You can approach God in the place of prayer to inspire you. So even when you are not clear, God will inspire you. Even when you are not sure, He will inspire you. And guess what? While you are still on that job, preparing to transit to starting or growing your business, God can present to you ideas that you can run without you being there. God can bring partners your way that you can probably just put your financial resource and the business will be running without you being there. But you see, the ultimate plan of God is to transition us into a place where we can build enterprise for Him. Where we can build enterprise for Him. Because God desires our partnership. Without us, literally, the gospel cannot go further than it is. You know, we do a lot of prayers. Those prayers are valid. But you see, one leg is doing the prayer. The other leg is partnering with God to use us to do these things. When we talk about harvest of the earth, it's the desire of God. But it's not angels that will do the harvest. It's the resources we put in that will help us do it. So when you've identified an area, I want to present the second point now. When you've identified a business area, you know, or a business idea, what you shouldn't do as a believer is to just run off with it. Don't just run off with it. This is the time to conduct research. Do your findings to understand the nitty-gritty in that space. Are there really opportunity in that space? See, some people will just say that, oh, I have this money. I want to set up a big supermarket because my dream has always been to set up a big supermarket, you know, within the neighborhood so that, you know, I can easily, you know, check on what's going on when I come back from work and all that. And they set it up. And at the end of the day, they end up consuming the things that they are selling there in their house. Because in the first instance, they did not even check the location to say that, is this location a viable location for this kind of business? There are a lot of believers that have set up businesses that have failed, and we think it's the devil. But it wasn't the devil. It was lack of understanding. Lack of understanding. So we need to check to validate. Do research to understand, this thing, is it viable? Is it something I can do on a commercial scale? I love to sing. I mean, for those of you that, I mean, those of us that might have been following Nigeria Idol, you know, and some of those, the fact that you have a good voice or that you sing to your spouse or to your friend does not mean that you can, your singing commands a commercial value. Do you understand? You need to understand that. What's that thing? But you see, God is a just God. He has not left anyone without that unique ability. He has not left anyone without that unique ability. You know, Mike Murdock once talked about a woman that she had. She had that woman, she was a receptionist for a long time. And, you know, they were just assessing the value of people, you know, in his organization. That we need to really evaluate. We can't be teaching people to evaluate and we are not evaluating. So it was evaluation and say, what's the value of this lady in this organization? Because you have a junior receptionist who is doing all of those things. But what's the value of this particular one? And it came to conclusion that there is no particular thing that she's had in Isaka. The day after she was sacked, she saw the impact of that lady. Because the moment she came into the office, everywhere was just quiet. Goes around. So she now realized that actually the energy of this organization was this woman. She was the one that came with that energy, that horror. Have you ever been in the presence of people that when you have them around, you know there is no dull moment? Do you realize that that's an ability? The reason why we have the comedy industry is because some people came into the awareness of the fact that when they speak, they make people laugh. And laughing is a value. As far as people are concerned, you see how much these guys are earning. So again, we need to begin to reflect as we pray meditatively, trusting God to reveal to us what's that thing that He wants us to focus on. And you see, for some of us, God might be stirring our hearts to partnership. To say that, oh, this person that you've always been seeing around, or this person that's always been saying that he does this thing, can we collaborate? And begin to research to see how much impact, you know, you can make in that area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you see, when we form such partnership, such alliances, we begin to make more impact for the kingdom. I'm going to conclude with this. In the book of Exodus chapter 31, Exodus 31, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, very quickly, let's run. See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze. You see, I wanted to see, okay, cutting jewels for certain and all, that's the emphasis. But verse 3, I want to stay on verse 3 as we conclude. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. You see, this is the Old Testament. When they were trying to implement the design of the temple that God has revealed to Moses. So God had to pour himself into this guy. He had to inspire this guy. When you read, you know, chapter 35, you will see the list of other people that also did craftsman work. But these were the guys that led them. Because they were filled and inspired by God. But you see, we are in an age where we are all filled with the Spirit of God. Every one of us that have given our life to Christ, we are carrying the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So we are not trying to look for the Spirit. We are not trying to pray for the Spirit. We carry the Spirit of God. We carry the Spirit of God. And He's able to inspire us in all wisdom, in all understanding, in all knowledge, in what we are supposed to do. But you see, we need to take that responsibility of consulting with the Spirit of God. If there is anything I wanted to leave this place with, is that decision to set time out to have dialogue with the Spirit of God. To have a time of conversation, meditation, interaction. That Holy Spirit, on this enterprise thing, how far? What are you saying to me? What instruction are you bringing my way? What are you inspiring my heart to do? And as you begin to inspire your heart, begin to note it down. You begin to action on it. As you begin to do this, begin to see, you know, things evolving so quickly. The scripture we have in Amos chapter 9, verse 13, about blessing happening upon the heels of an. It happens when we let go, when we allow the Holy Spirit to breathe upon us, to communicate, to inspire us, then we begin to see these things happen. And at the end of the day, when we become open to these resources, we can channel to the gospel. And that's the desire of God. I want us to just bow down our head, you know, this morning and just pray that, Holy Spirit, I ask for your help. I ask for your help. I want to do much more than I'm currently doing. I want to be a useful tool in your hand for world evangelization. I want to be an instrument of harvest of the earth. I want my resources to begin to be, you know, to be used in the cause of winning soul. I want to be instrumental to the expansion of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, I ask that you help me. I ask that you guide me. I ask that you lead me. I ask that you inspire me in the name of Jesus. That by the end of this series, I will have come to that point where I'm so clear and assured of the things that you want me to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Put your hands together for Jesus.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,